Amen. So in addition to Lance Yoder, who is on the Shiloh prayer team that's here tonight? Anybody? All right. You've got a t-shirt. Do you guys have a t-shirt yet? All right. I'm going to throw this to you. Richard, I'm going to throw it to you, I think, and you're going to hand it to him. How's that sound? Now, I wore my Chiefs shirt tonight, so we'll see how this is going to go. Okay, Jim's going to be ready. And before I throw, I'm also going for the Texas Tech team tonight as well, so I'm rooting for them. All right, Jim, here you go, buddy. You ready? Let's see if, oh, it's a little short. Oh, good catch. All right. So if you want one of those t-shirts, get on a prayer team or go out to the connections counter and you can get one of those. So, man, it's so good. It's so good to pray. And as you know, there are a lot of needs. The needs around the world are massive. And so we get to meet a lot of missionaries and we want to pray for them strategically, right? We want to pray. We want to support them financially. And we want to visit the field physically. That's what's on our heart to do. But you know what? What has always driven our relationships with missionaries is relationship. And so it's important that we build a relationship, because when you're on the front lines, you need people that have your back. Joe and Amy need people that have their back. Dave and Joe need people that have their back that are in prayer. And so, and they need your, and frankly, they need your financial support too. And so each night we're gonna invite a different speaker up that really needs support. And the next one we're going to see is a gentleman named Lee Carter. I met him just at Focus Conference with the LFF this last December, and I didn't even know. We just got hooked up for lunch. I think Tom Brockmeyer hooked us up, and he comes well reported by Tom Brockmeyer. Went to Jamaica with Tom last year, and he says, "Brian, you got to know about this work, Lee Carter, and what's going on in Dominican Republic." And I'm like, "Okay." I hadn't met him. And so we had a divine appointment last just a few months back, and then we just kind of hit it off, and I saw him down at the discipleship conference. And so I'm so thankful that Lee and Heather are here with their daughter, and they're going to – Lee's going to come up in just a minute and share his field. But I want you guys to meet these folks. I want you to have an opportunity to spend time with them. If you haven't stopped by out in the front and went by their display, asked them some questions, spent some time just visiting with them, you need to do that. They've driven up here all the way from Alabama, from Decatur, Alabama, to be with us this week and just to expose their heart for God and for people. And also, if you want to come back and hear more after tonight's presentation, tomorrow morning, Lee's going to be sharing a little bit in the morning. So, brother, if you could come up and just share a little bit about the field and preach to us or whatever you're going to do, come on up, bring your family. God bless you.
She has more guts than I do. While that's going here, and I'll move it forward here in just a second. The theme of this conference is amazing. Faithful with least, faithful with most. And it really hits home, Pastor, because of God's faithfulness. Jesus is a perfect picture of it. Faithful in least. I didn't grow up in church. Who am I to stand up here in this pulpit? He's been so faithful with me as one of the least. And he can do the most. Amen? And so tonight, this is not us showing you us. This is not our work. This is his. The fruit you're going to hear about is his. The things he's doing there are supernatural. And we're going to start with the word, because everything good starts with the word, right? And so I'm going to be in John 4 real quick. John 4, 34. It says, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So this is where Jesus has just spoken to the lady at the well. He just spent time with the person. Everybody in culture said he shouldn't have been anywhere near. And he took time. And he walked her from the process of religion to relationship with the very King of Kings standing right before her. And her realization of that. Because, man, she left that water pot there and she went running back to the city. Right? She was faithful with what he had just handed her. And look at the much that he did with that. It says the city came back. They wanted to see this Jesus. Amen? And so, but this passage, man, it's powerful. It goes on, it says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. And this verse 38 is so powerful. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. He does all the work. Right? I'm not skipping the rest. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. That is a perfect description of what's happening in the DR. You get on an airplane and go to the Dominican Republic, I guarantee you there's going to be 50 other Christians on that airplane with you. And they're all going to do some sort of a mission trip. So it's not that there hasn't been people at the Dominican. The problem is, and we're going to pray in just a second, the problem is 93% of the Dominicans will tell you they're a Christian. But they have no relationship with Christ. None. They have religious tendencies and religious habits and no understanding of the actual gospel. Heavenly Father, as we go through this, I want you to be glorified, you to be honored. It is your work. We stand here because you've allowed it and blessed us with the privilege and opportunity. I pray that this would be honoring and glorifying to your name. In Christ's name I pray, amen. All right. So, we're going to go to, you see where that arrow is right there? We're going to go to there, Washington, D.C. Santo Domingo, the capital, right? And we're literally, the neighborhood that we've picked out, the area that we're looking to move into is literally like Washington, D.C. Because God has a plan to reach their government. So we had to find a place where we could live and everybody would be comfortable coming. Whether it's the vice president, the president, or, and that's not facetious, by the way, because I got to lead the vice president, to the vice president's husband to Christ. Okay? So we want everybody to be welcome. There's just under 14 million people in the Dominican Republic. Right? Currently, right now, we have been part of a process that God's working where there was 3 core churches in Santo Domingo that have networked together. God lined up all the appointments, and we started talking with them and through the local New Testament church, teaching nationals how to become church planters. These are young men that have grown up in their local New Testament church. Their churches are trying to figure out how do we get them trained? How do we do this? And currently, to this day, through those 3 different church training centers right there in the local New Testament church, you're going to be saying that 1,000 times because we do not do anything outside of that. Okay? So through that authority that God has in the local New Testament church, in the last 4 years, we've seen over 300 churches planted in the neighborhoods. Amen? Praise God. Right? We've seen over 8,000 people come to know Christ. Amen? That's exciting. If we can't say amen to that, something's wrong. We need to sing some more, right? All right? So that's what we're going to be part of. what the goal is at this point is every single one of those outlined areas is a providence. And we're going to make sure there's at least one church plant training center in each providence.
For a week, oftentimes with a team from another church that'll come down to the Dominican. And we'll spend 3 days in a clinic setting, and I'll go over that with you in just a bit and show you a video of it. In the evenings, we'll have discipleship, kind of the first three lessons of discipleship for those that have received Christ in the clinic setting. And then Bethany will talk to you a little bit about baptism and what happens then. But this is a picture of one of our children's meetings where some boys had been coming and then received Christ on the last day that we were there for clinic. So this is the clinic. It starts out with a spiritual station or a gospel station. We come in, we get their information. This is their neighborhood. They often know each other. The gentleman that will be leading the church plant is there. He's circulating amongst the people from his neighborhood. And then we will take that opportunity to present the gospel to them and ask them if they want to receive the Lord as Savior. And then we'll follow that up with triage and a physician. And we know that oftentimes they're coming there to address their physical needs, but we let them know that their spiritual health is just as important as their physical health. And then we have a pharmacy also, so we can actually meet their needs right then for some of the most common things like high blood pressure, skin conditions, stomach illness, that kind of thing.
So after we do the church plant on the final day, it's a 3-day church plant, and on the last day we allow them the opportunity to get baptized. Now keep in mind they've gone through 3 lessons by now of discipleship, so they understand what they're doing. They understand that this is a representation of their salvation. It is not their salvation. And it's so cool to see the way God lines up these divine appointments. One specific man, you'll see the very last man that gets baptized, we went into a neighborhood, and as we were driving the bus into the neighborhood, Dad said, stop the bus, and he got off the bus, and on this corner was a big group of guys, and it turned out that that was the gang that ran that neighborhood. Well, the leader of the gang accepted Christ as his Savior, and he spent all 3 days with us at the church plant helping the Timothy that was in charge of this church plant. And he spent all 3 days serving. He helped put chairs out. He helped with anything that he could do. Led the other people in his gang to come help. And it was so cool to see God had prepared the hearts before we even got there. Because, yes, we are going as a vessel of honor for God to use. But it is not our work. It's God's work. And he's preparing the people's hearts. And he has the field ready. The hearts ready. This is the guy that I was talking about. But he has the hearts ready, and we just need partnerships to help us to go. And I know God has them lined up, and he has them ready. But it's just so cool to see his work there and his power and his just divine timing. And it's grown my faith.
So now I get to have fun and just tell you about people that got saved, right? So this guy sitting there, he listened to the Dominican gentleman share the gospel with him. And it was about 40 minutes through this and Romans Road. And then he went on to explain to the gentleman in the blue hat. He says, but you don't understand. And he pointed to the roof next door. He said, I put the roof on that house. I paid for it and I did all the labor. And then he pointed to a group of young men. He said, do you see all the clothing that they're wearing? He said, I gave them all of their clothing. They have shoes because I've given from my job to make sure that they have shoes. And he went on for about 5 minutes and pointed at all these different things in the neighborhood with what he had done, right? And the Holy Spirit the whole time, I'm just trying to be quiet and keep my mouth closed because the Holy Spirit's screaming Cornelius, right? And he's saying, he says, I pray every day. I talk to God. We're on the same page. I mean, it is. He was very bold in his comfort with his his current situation with God. But when I recapped and said, okay, so let me get this straight. You're going to go to heaven because you're a good person, you roof for people, you provide clothing, and you pray. Yeah. I said, let me show you you in the Bible. And I walked him through Cornelius. I didn't say a thing. I just walked him through Cornelius. When it was done talking about Cornelius and transitioning and starting to talk about Peter a little bit, he says, that's me. Yep. And he had no idea what he had just said, but I did. He said, and we went on, he says, you're Peter. I was like, no, not really, but okay, we'll run with it, right? By the time we got to the end of that passage, tears. I need to be saved. Accepted Christ as Savior. Couldn't stop him from helping after that, right? I want you to see that it's all ages. There's not just a bunch of children getting saved. There's nothing wrong with that. I was in children's work for 15 years. But that's not what this is. This is all generations being touched. 92 years old. Accepted Christ as his Savior. Entire baseball team, including the coach, the trainer, and the recruiter, right? The scout. Everybody accepted Christ as their Savior. And immediately the response was, next week, will you come back? We need Bible. Will you come back and teach us? Right? Twist my arm, right? Okay? We do go out and get the children because just like the adults get discipleship, the children are too. Same time. We've lined up a curriculum where there's 3 days back to back that show them who Jesus is. Okay? A family, the entire family accepted Christ. Obviously, the little baby didn't, but everybody in that family accepted Christ. They're playing games and having fun as they show up. The man on the left wanted to get into a spiritual debate with me, and I wouldn't debate. I said, okay. He said, you're not going to disagree with all the things I'm saying? I don't need to. That's not my job. It's the Word's job. I said, can I share the Word with you? Yeah. Shared the Word with him. Accepted Christ as Savior. That's him praying. All right. This lady, we're walking down the street. And I just come up from the baseball field you see on the left where an entire team accepted Christ. We walk up the angled area to get back up onto the street. And at this point, my Spanish was taco and ¿dónde está el baño? That was it, man. Okay? And so I'm standing there and I'm surrounded by the people that were part of it. And this lady, literally, you can see her running as fast as she can run. She's a full dead-on sprint. Pastor, I didn't know what was about to happen. Right? I mean, she's running right at us. I'm like, uh-oh. She got there. She's out of breath. She's explaining to Milka, the lady you see on the left facing the other way, that the night before in a dream, God had told her. That he was going to send somebody to her neighborhood to tell her how to go to heaven. When she saw us, she was running. I'm going to go past that one. All right. The lady in the back is married to the church planter at this one. That's her dad. Lost. When I walked up and sat down, it was lunchtime. And I'm just sitting there. Talking to him through a translator. He explained to me he'd just gotten out of prison. He'd been in prison for 30 years. Just gotten out of prison, and there was no hope for him to be saved. I said, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He said, no, you don't understand. They thought I was bad before I went into prison. Their prison is not like our prison. The things that they do to survive in prison completely different than here. And it's bad here. She's explaining, there's no hope. I can't be saved. Right? An hour and a half later, because faith cometh by and hearing of the... Because see, God will do all the work. We just have to be willing to speak it. That's it. Right? And so... Look at that smile. But when somebody gets saved in the Dominican, if I'm sitting there, I tell them what is happening in heaven. I tell them about the party going on, about the angels celebrating and rejoicing. And I say, you know what? I like doing that here. I do. Ask my wife. I don't care if we're in a restaurant. Somebody gets saved, I'm shouting. Right? We're going to have some fun. And so I always, hey, what would you like to yell at the top of your lungs? What do you just want to shout? He said, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And that's a picture of him. It's a picture of him, right? That's what God's doing in the Dominican. But we want to plant one of these everywhere we can. We're part of a 12,000 church plant vision. 12,000. And God can do it. We need prayer. What he said last night, it was perfect, brother. I can't thank you enough. We need prayer. I can't do this. Solo un poco de español. Mi español es no bueno. Okay? My Spanish is horrible. I've had no classes. I use a bilingual Bible, and every time I study in English, I pick five more words out in Spanish, look them up in Spanish, write out the definition in Spanish. God has made me 70% bilingual with no lessons. We just need help. I need you praying, first and foremost. Please pray. Secondly, get to share with Randy about trips. So that opportunity comes around, man, come. You won't regret it. I promise you ain't going to come back home the same. I promise. And then thirdly, if God, and only if God, if God wants you to financially support his work, because the money's to him, not us, if that's the case, then that's between you and him. And we can show you how to do that, if that's what he tells you. Okay? I can't thank you enough, Pastor, for the opportunity to share the work. This church is amazing. And I'm not saying that because he's sitting here. I'm not. I'm stubborn enough not to say it. This church is amazing. What you guys have going is amazing. Because you're focused on the proclamation of the word. Because it gets proclaimed in two ways. By printing it and by speaking it. And that's what you guys are all about. Thank you, Pastor.
Special for you. Kind of dragging my feet here until my wife can get out of here if she's able to. Let me tell you guys something. Every year, this Vision Conference has done something to my heart. And we've been going here since the start. What an amazing time. What an opportunity we have to impact the world, you know, if not through our money and not through our actions, through our prayer. And I can tell you from my own experience, through our own life experience with my wife and everything, prayer is unbelievable. It's non-stoppable. A man can stop your advances. I think it was Tozer. He can stop your advances. He can stop your everything, but he cannot stop your prayers. So no matter how bad Satan wants to make it, and no matter how much you don't think you can do it. I was just driving to work the other day, called Brian and said, hey, you know, does this count? Because I'm praying as I drive. And he says, absolutely, brother, it counts. So, you know, if you guys have no other time throughout the day to pray as you're driving to work, don't turn on the radio, don't pick up a cell phone, just pray. Pray about the people that you think about. Pray about the people that you don't like. Pray about the people that don't like you. You know, that's really what it's all about. So it is well. This is kind of a different version of it. Some of you might very well have heard it, but I hope you guys enjoy this.
evening. Didn't want you dozing off there. Good evening. Man, what a great worship service. I think we could pray and go home and be blessed. Tremendous music. Tremendous. Man, God's doing some great things in the Dominican Republic. What a blessing. The family's worthy of your dollars. The Lord's worthy of your dollars, but they're going to be the beneficiary of that. And so, man, what a tremendous blessing. Let's go to the book of Esther, if we could. Esther chapter number 3. I have to give you a little warning, though, before I get started. I have some sermon credits. You say, what are sermon credits? Yesterday I preached short. Those minutes roll over to tonight. And so we may go a little long tonight. It's like the missionaries, when we're in these conferences, we earn church credits. You know, normally we go to church Sunday and Wednesday, but we're in church on a Monday and Tuesday this week, so we get 2 church credits. So we can call in sick one of these days, but no, we'll see what the Lord does. Esther chapter number 3. Again, thank you for allowing us to be here. We're not worthy to be here, but we serve the one that is worthy, amen? And so it's great to be here. The prayer teams, wonderful thing. How many of you on a prayer team? Majority. We got 2 people right here from our prayer team from Grace Baptist Church in Lee Summit. They're going to be embarrassed that I'm going to talk about them, Kevin and Kathy Foster. And Kathy and Kevin are prayer warriors. We have a special need. The first people we talk to is Kevin and Kathy Foster. Something going on in the ministry, we need help. First people we talk to. We know they pray for us. And man, it's a huge, huge blessing. We love you guys. Thank you for everything you do for us. Special friends. There's a special bond between the missionary and their prayer team. Do I need to lower my mic a little bit? I'm getting a little bit of ringing. And so I want to encourage you guys, get on a prayer team. Man, there's no greater blessing than be able to pray for missionaries. And there's no greater blessing for us missionaries to know that there's people praying for us. I do not have one doubt that that lady's not praying for me every morning. Every morning. And so it's great to know people like that are holding the ropes for us. So thank you guys for doing that. Thank you guys for coming. Esther chapter number 3. Familiar story from the Word of God. Let's pick up reading in verse number 8. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there's a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all the people, neither keep they the king's laws, therefore it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of that gentleman there, the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and unto the king's governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language. There's an important reason to get the word of God in each language. And so this was written to every people after their language in the name of King Ahasuerus, and it was written and sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all the Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day. Even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people that they should be ready against that day. The post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace, and the king and Haman sat down to drink. But the city Shushan was perplexed. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes, put on sackcloth with ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. Father, we commit this evening to you. Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts. Father, I pray that you will open our ears and open our eyes to what you have for us this evening. Father, I pray that you will fill my mouth with the words that you'd have me to say. Fill our hearts with the words that you'd have us to hear. And fill our feet with the proper response to what we've heard. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Here in chapter 3, the decree went out that all the Jews were to be killed. Men, women, boys, girls, children, they were all condemned to death. There was no hope for them. The decree was written and approved by the king. The Jews were going to die. They were condemned to death. The decree was written. You know, today there's a decree written. John chapter 3 and verse number 18 says, "He that believeth not is condemned already." They're condemned. Same decree. They're going to die. They're going to die. One was being condemned by a wicked king. The others are being condemned by a righteous judge. But this righteous judge is not willing that any should perish, Peter tells us. And so something has to be done. Something has to be done to stop the death of these people. I know the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment. But Mordecai perceived in chapter 4, verse number 1, that he perceived what was done. He understood the severity of the problem. He understood what was going to happen to these people, to his people. He saw the doom and the gloom that was about to come. And when he perceived this, when he realized what was going on, when he understood, he did something about it. The Bible says he put on sackcloth and ashes there in verse number 1. And he went into the city and cried, and he cried with a loud and bitter cry, it says. And so let me make some quick application here before we continue. Of course, we know the world is condemned to death. Those without Christ are going to die. There's no hope for them. And there's also a Mordecai crying out. So we know the lost. We understand that those without Christ are condemned to death. But tonight in this room, there's a Mordecai crying out. Who do you think the Mordecai is? One of two people in this room tonight. Your first thought is, oh, it's you, the missionary. No. Mordecai's sitting here on the front row in a Kansas City Chiefs shirt. It's Mordecai. He's perceived the problem. He sees what's happening to the world. He understands that the world is on its way to hell. And he gets up here week after week with a loud and bitter cry and wants to do something about it. And so he's the Mordecai. He understands the problem. He's perceived the decree and the impending death. He understands that millions or billions are going to be sent to hell if they don't trust in Christ. You know, the missionary could be a Mordecai, but tonight I want to say that your pastor is the Mordecai. Mordecai appeals to Esther, if you continue to read the story. We know that Esther was in the castle, in the palace. And so Mordecai begins to appeal to her. Mordecai begs and pleads with her that you need to get involved. And at first she began to make excuses. In verse number 11, she says, "Man, I can't get involved. I'm not called." It says in the king's servants, in verse number 11, "The people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king in the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I've not been called to come into the king these 30 days." So she began to make excuses. She made another excuse in verse number 11 as well, that I could lose my life. I could be put to death. I can't get involved. Verse number 4, she makes another excuse. She said, you know, I'm already doing a little bit of something. Verse number 4, it says, "So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceeding grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai. That wasn't the problem. Mordecai didn't need clothes. He didn't need raiment. So she was doing something. She thought she was helping. She thought she was involved. And so if Mordecai is your pastor, who then is the Esther in this room? It's you and I. We're the Esthers. We're the ones making the excuses. We're the ones saying, man, I'm already doing something I can't do anymore. We're the ones saying, man, I'm not called. That's not my job. That's his job. And so I want to talk to you for just a few minutes on what it finally took for Esther to get involved. Those of you that know the story know that she finally got involved. And together they saved the Jews. But when did she finally get involved? What did it take for her to get involved? So let's, for a few minutes, analyze this story and find out what it took for her to get involved. Let me pose this question to you. What's it going to take for you to get involved? What's it going to take for you to help Mordecai? What's it going to take for you to see people saved? So I want to share just a few minutes with you this morning. Your pastor's crying out. He set the vision for the church. What's the vision you always say? Equip. Amen. He says that fast. You all know what he's saying. Hey, I'm still on the word equipped. That's his cry. That's what he's trying to do. That's his purpose. And so he's looking for some Esthers to get involved. And so let's see what it finally took for Esther to get involved. In verse number 13, it says, then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knowest whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And you've heard many messages on that phrase, for such a time as this. But I want to tell you, Esther finally decided to get involved when Mordecai's words had meaning in her life. When she finally understood what Mordecai was trying to tell her. And you and I as Christians, we're going to finally get involved when we understand Mordecai's voice. When Mordecai's voice finally has meaning in our lives. Your pastor stands up week after week after week and talks about his vision and the mission. Man, when's it finally going to hit us? When's that finally going to have meaning in our life? You see, God gave him the vision. It's biblical. He's the leader. And his words have to have meaning in our lives so we can follow him and get the job done. And so God has your Mordecai here. He's doing all he can. He started a vision conference to try to help get you involved. Man, it's a great time. Great, great conference. He's hired a missions pastor. Man, if the vision conference won't work, I'll hire a missions pastor. Man, Brother Randy's a great one. Best of the best. Wonderful missions pastor. So, man, if that don't work, we're going to start supporting missionaries. You got a wall out here of missionaries that you support. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to teach him to disciple. Teach him to train. He's crying out with a loud and bitter cry, hoping to get you guys involved. Why? Because the decree's been made and the world's been condemned. And he just wants you to get involved. He's setting the example. He's going on a mission trip. He's going to go and teach and train. When are you leaving, preacher? 17th of April. Going to be gone for a couple weeks. He's doing everything. He's trying to set the example for you guys. He's trying to get the vision to fall on your hearts. He's going to be gone for a couple weeks, and he's going to be gone over Easter. Man, that's awesome. He's going to be able to tell those that never heard about Jesus Christ, he's going to be able to tell them on Resurrection Sunday about the resurrection. And that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. But how many of you are going with him? I know Randy's going with him. Anybody else going with him? Maybe logistically you can't go. I don't know. I mean, they ought to be lined up. Man, we want to go to the mission field. We want to help. Why? Because he's been crying with a loud and bitter cry for years to try to reach this world for Christ. And so Esther got involved when when she allowed Mordecai's words to have meaning in her life. And you and I, you know, sometimes we don't get involved because we don't allow the man of God's words to have meaning in our life. And we need to allow that. You know, we need to stop sending food and clothes and let's send his word. Let's stop sending food and clothes and let's send disciple makers. Let's stop, and I know the food and clothes, I mean, that's important. But somebody that can go and make disciples is more important. You know, Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Begin to disciple them. He didn't say go and feed them and clothe them. Those are tools we can use to bring people to Christ. But that's not the ultimate goal. That's not the main thing. The word of God is the main thing. And so Mordecai's words finally got through to Esther, and she got involved. She finally understood why he was crying with that loud and bitter cry. And she decided to get involved. And so I want to encourage you tonight, let the voice of your pastor move you to get involved. Let his cry encourage you to get involved. Mordecai cried with a loud and bitter cry. And finally, after some dialogue, she got involved. So she got involved when she finally allowed his words to have meaning in her life. So I want to encourage you tonight, listen to what your pastor says. Amen. Follow your pastor. God is working through him. You say, well, he's not always right. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. That's who God has in this church right now. And so he's right. Oh, well, he doesn't do things my way. Sorry. We have a saying, put your big boy pants on and just get to work. Just do it. Just do it. Why? God has given him a vision. And you're here to support and follow that vision. The flip side of that is he's responsible for that. You and I don't have to give an answer to God for that. He does. And so we'll have to answer for whether or not we followed him. So get behind your pastor. Be Aaron and Hur, I think the two guys that lifted Moses' arms up. Be those people for your pastor, for your Mordecai. Why? Because half the world's going to hell. And so she got involved when she allowed Mordecai's words to have meaning in her life. Here's another one in verse number 14. It says, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. She got involved when she realized that God could use somebody else instead of her. I don't know about you, but I want God to use me. Lee wants God to use him in the Dominican Republic. I don't want God to have to send somebody else to Oaxaca. I want to be used by him. You know, I have two fears in my life, and I don't know if I've ever shared these with you, but two fears. Fear number one is that nobody will come to my funeral. I know that's kind of morbid. But I'm afraid that nobody will come to my funeral. And if nobody comes to my funeral, that means I had zero impact on anybody. And I don't want that. Man, I want the place to be full of people that I've impacted for Christ. My second fear is that God will use somebody else. I don't want God to use anybody else. We need help. He needs to send people alongside of us. But I want God to use me. Christ died for me, and so I want to serve him. I want to do something to show my gratitude for what he's done for me. So I don't want God to have to go and knock on somebody else's door to say, hey, Joe won't do it, you better go. Lee won't do it. Sorry, but I need you to go. She got involved when she realized that God would use somebody else. God's will is going to get done. And we ought to be the ones that carry that out. And so don't let God use somebody else. Let God use you. Let God use your kids. Set the example for your family. Let God use your grandkids. You know why we don't have many young missionaries today? Sorry, parents, but it's your fault. You're not letting them go. You're pushing them off to do other things. Sadly. But God wants to use your child. God wants to use your grandkids. God wants to use you. God has called me to Oaxaca, and I want to be the one to go and knock on those doors and say, hey, here's what Christ did for you. This is what Jesus did for you. I'm going to go and tell him. I want to be the one to do that. And so she got involved when she realized that God could use somebody else. That's why she was there in the palace. And that's why you're here in this church. There's a lot of other churches here in this area. There's not a better church in this area, but there's a lot of other churches in this area. And so God has you here so that you can help this man carry out the vision. So you can help this man reach this county for Christ. So you can help this pastor reach this world for Christ. God wants the whole world to hear, and he wants to use you. He wants to use me. If you think about it, other than you and I, there's no other options. Well, we can send the message there. We can send the word of God. But there needs to be a messenger that goes along with that. There needs to be somebody that can go and explain and to preach and to train from the word of God. You say, well, no, there doesn't. Yeah, there does. Ask the Ethiopian eunuch. He had the word of God. And he said, man, how can I understand unless some man should guide me? Will you be that man that can guide someone to Christ? Will you be that woman that would guide someone to Christ? Man, there's no greater joy than to be used by God. You know, missions life is hard. I'm not going to lie to you. It's not easy. But man, we're having a great time. Man, the devil's attacking. When he attacks, we know that God's doing something big. Man, it's hot. It's 100,000 degrees down there. It's hot. But man, I don't want God to send somebody else. I want to be there. I want Amy to be there. And as he said, when people get saved, he has them shout. That's great. I'm gonna start doing that. I'll give you the credit. That's what Lee told me to do. But that's great. We've seen people saved. We've seen some lives changed. I tell you, that's a wonderful feeling, and not a proudful feeling. It's a humbling feeling. That God would use somebody like us to take the gospel and see a family restored. See a drunk quit drinking. See a husband and wife get back together. See them bring kids to church. Man, that's awesome. That's the good stuff. That's the good stuff. So don't let God use somebody else. Let God use you. You know, I think your Bible institute here needs to be full of students. Full of students. People that God can use. Get your training. See, God may never send you in here. No big deal. At least you're ready to go. You're prepared in case he does call. Because when he comes calling, man, it may take you a couple years to get ready. But if you're prepared now, if you start your preparation, man, when that knock comes, man, you can go. You can get right out there. And start having fun. You know, we love living here. You know, we love visiting the United States. But I don't know if I could live here ever again. It's just, I mean, Taco Bell helps. That's a tough decision. but I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Why? Because, man, there's stuff happening down there. There's stuff happening in the Dominican Republic. And it's exciting to be a part of. It's exciting to see. So let God use you. Get involved. Don't let him ask somebody else. Don't let him do it. I don't know what God has for you, but he's got a plan. He's got a plan that's bigger than you. And whenever you're involved in a plan that's bigger than you, man, it's a great time. It's a lot of fun because you get to see God work. And so there's people in Oaxaca that God wants to save, and I beg him every day to use me to see those people saved. There's people here in Cass County that God wants to save, and man, you better beg him to let you be the one to lead them to Christ. Amen. Don't let him send somebody else. Here am I, Lord, send me. So when did she get involved? She got involved when Mordecai's words had meaning in her life. She got involved when she realized that God could use someone else. She got involved when she was willing to think outside the box, when she was willing to do something other than the normal. Look at verse number 16. It says, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat or drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law. She's getting ready to do something that's outside the box. She's getting ready to do something that's not normal. She's getting ready to do something that she could lose her life for. She didn't stop. She got involved and she was willing to think outside the box. And you and I as Christians, we need to be willing to think outside the box to get the gospel where it needs to go. The gospel message never should change, never going to change. But man, we need to think outside the box so we can get the work of God done. You know, let's figure out a way to get the job done. Let's get together and come up with some ideas and some creative ways so we can get the gospel to the ends of the earth. Do you realize we have more technology at our hands than ever before to get the gospel to the ends of the earth? Oh, but we have to do it this way. No, we sure don't. Well, but we have to do... No. Let's think outside the box. Let's do something other than the norm. Let's figure out a way to get the supplies to the front lines. Let's figure out a way to get that armory up and running in full swing. There's people waiting to hear about Jesus Christ. You've got a room full of equipment back here. Let's get it up and running. Let's figure out a way to get it done. I'm not a big, who's that comedian? I always get her done. Let's get her done. Let's figure it out. Let's get the gospel where it needs to go. And we said yesterday, we need 20,000 Bibles. We don't know where they're at. You got equipment back there. We need people to get involved. We need people willing to think outside the box. We need to figure out a way to get missionaries to the field faster. I read somewhere on average it takes anywhere from 4 to 5 years to get a missionary to the field. Man, that's too long. That's too long. So let's figure out a way. Let's get creative. Let's think outside the box. Why? So we can get missionaries to the field. Why? Because there's people that are condemned to death unless they hear about Jesus Christ. You understand that their sin is what's condemning them to death. They're choosing to live without Christ, but let's get there and tell them what Christ has done for them. Amen. You and I aren't sending them to hell. They're sending themselves to hell, but we've got the remedy. We've got what they need, and so let's get it to them. You know, Randy showed a list of the projects this morning. Man, let's figure out how to get those done. Let's think outside the box. Let's do something that's never been done before. Let's go in under the King and not worry about what happens to us. Let's sacrifice. Let's dig a little bit deeper. Let's figure out a way to get 100% involvement from Heartland Baptist Fellowship in the mission of God. How can we do that? Let's think outside the box. So she realized that she had to do something other than the norm. And she got involved. She was willing to do that. Another thing I see is found in verse number 7. It says, and Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him and the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. She realized that not getting involved would cost lives. She realized that her not getting involved, people were going to die. The Jews would be destroyed. A whole nation wiped out. In one day, a whole nation wiped out. And that finally dawned on her, wow, if I don't get involved, people are going to die. People are going to go to hell. And so she decided to get involved. Like I said, it's their sin that sends them to hell, but it's our job to deliver the good news. It's our job. There's nobody else going to do it. The Bible societies aren't going to do it. It's a local church. We've been commanded to go. We've been commanded to go, and if we don't go, people are going to be lost forever. If we drop the ball, lives will be lost. If we don't get involved and make an on-time delivery, people won't hear in time. I want to encourage you to get involved. Whatever it takes, get involved. I'll share this testimony again in the morning if God permits. But we went to visit an elderly couple up in the mountains in another coffee plantation. Lady had been bedridden for about 5 years. They're up in their 80s. I think she was 85 or 86 and her husband's 82 or 83. Can't hardly get around. And so we went up there and talked with them, and we opened the Bible and shared with them the gospel. And they both prayed and accepted Christ. Man, it was a wonderful thing. And she said something to me I'll never forget. She said, if you would have never come here, how would we have ever known? Let that sink in. If you would have never come here, how would we have ever known? You see, the Catholic Church is there. She's 80 years old. She's been to Mass hundreds of times. Priest has been in her home to visit her and not one time shared the gospel with her. And so if we would have never gone, two souls would have been on their way to hell. Thank the Lord he used us. Thank the Lord he allowed us to go. Thank the Lord for the party that was in heaven over those two souls. Amen. And there's hundreds of stories we could tell you like that. People that get to hear the gospel. People that we got there on time. We arrived before it was too late. But sadly, there's people that didn't hear in time. There's people that are still waiting for the good news to be delivered to them. There's some people that won't get to hear. And I'm not trying to be all doom and gloom. I'm just trying to get you to understand the burden. I'm trying to get you to see why you need to get involved. Get involved with your finances. Oh, Brother Joe, you can talk about money. You can't do that. It's not my church. You got to deal with that after I leave. But you can't do the mission without the finances. The gospel's not going to walk itself there. It takes money. The water of life is free, but the plumbing, man, it costs some cash to get it there. Where's that money going to come from? Right here. These people right here. There's no other option. The world's not going to finance it. It's got to come from within these walls. You say, well, man, there's not enough of us. Man, that's great. Go find disciples. You want to have a little less burden on your pocketbook? Go get more people to be involved. That's the key. Teach other people how to give. So she got involved when she realized that not getting involved would cost lives. Let me show you one other thing. It says in verse number 16, go and gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me. And neither eat or drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. She said, well, that's pretty obvious, John. They fasted and prayed. That's not the point I want to show you. She got involved when she realized she wouldn't have to get involved alone. There's people that will help. So I want to encourage you to get involved because you're not going to get involved by yourself. You don't have to do it by yourself. Say, well, I don't want God to send me to this place, or I don't want to do this because I'll be all alone. You won't. There'll be other people that'll get involved with you. You'll encourage other people to get involved once you get involved. Once Esther made the decision to get involved, the other people willingly prayed and fasted. That's what these prayer teams are all about. You're not going alone. You have people praying for you. It's obvious the Lord's with us. We know that. And that's all we need. But it sure does help to know there's other people standing right there with us. Sure is a blessing to know that. And so she was able to get involved when she realized she wasn't alone in the mission. And I know it would be a huge encouragement to your pastor if you guys would just rally around him and get involved so he doesn't have to do it alone. Help him do that. Help him fulfill the vision that God has given him. So I want to encourage you, get involved. Maybe God's going to send you to the mission field. Man, that'd be great. You know, you're not going to go alone. It was great. He set the example when you started the church plant in Clinton. Is that where you started? How many people did you send down there? 27. Who's the pastor? Are you the pastor over here? Are you alone, brother? You got 27 people with you. He didn't have to go alone. Man, how exciting is that? And so she got involved when she might say, hey, I'm not by myself. We don't know how many people it was here that fasted and prayed. You know, I can get up every morning, face the fiery darts of the devil, face the fires that we face each and every day. Why? Because I know I'm not alone. I've got a family right here that's praying for us. So our job's easy. Why? Because we got the support. Brother Lee's going to need some people praying for him. He's going to need some people going to the throne of grace every morning for him. Brother Pierce needs people going to the throne of grace every day for him. And so she got involved when she realized that she wasn't alone. I want to encourage you tonight to get involved. Find out what you can do. Do more than what you're doing if you're already involved. You say, well, I'm already doing something. I'm doing the food and the clothes. No, get involved. Get really involved. Why? Because there's people's lives at stake. There's people that are lost and have no hope of hearing unless you and I get involved. So she got involved when Mordecai's words finally had meaning in her life. She got involved when she realized people were going to die if she didn't. She got involved when she was willing to depart from the norm, when she was willing to think outside the box. And she got involved when she realized she wasn't going to be alone. So can I encourage you tonight, get involved in the mission. Don't let God use somebody else. Be willing to stand up and say, God, hear my, send me. God, I'll go. I'll help. I'll give. I'll put in some time in the armory to print Bibles. I'll put in some time to raise money for the armory. Think outside the box. Why? Because the decree's been given. He that doth not believe on the Son, I'm paraphrasing, is condemned already. And so let's stand up and let's do something about it. And so your pastor has a vision for this church. Rally around that vision and get involved and get the job done. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we love you. God, there's a world that's condemned to hell. Lord, but you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Lord, you gave your Son. You gave the Word. You gave us the church. Yet there's still some that's never heard. So, Lord, help us to get involved in the mission. Help us to hear the cry of Mordecai. Help the cry of Mordecai to pierce our hearts so that we can help him save those people. Lord, help us to realize that the gospel is only the good news if it arrives in time. Lord, help us to do what it takes to get the gospel to those still waiting. Father, I pray that you will work in a mighty way to get that armory open. God, we're asking for a miracle. We're asking for funds. Lord, there's a list of projects. So, Lord, help us to figure it out. So, Father, I pray tonight that you will speak to hearts. Maybe there's somebody here that needs to get involved. Or maybe you're speaking to somebody about an area of service. Or maybe it's a ministry here in this local church. Or maybe you're speaking to somebody about foreign missions. Or maybe you're speaking to somebody about another church plant. God, I pray that you will work in our hearts and lives. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to be in Oaxaca. Lord, I thank you for not using somebody else. God, I pray for Lee and his family tonight. Lord, I pray for their ministry. Pray that they can get to the field quickly. Pray that he can learn the language. Lord, I pray that they can begin to make disciples. Lord, I pray for these missionary prayer teams. Lord, may each team be filled to capacity with prayer warriors. Father, I love you. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for the amazing grace that you've shown to us. Lord, we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor, if you'd come.